Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Redford, Michigan, earned a BA in Christian Education and Bible from Wheaton College and a JD in Law from John Marshall Law School. From 1993 to 2025, she was the executive director, co-founder of Central Detroit Christian Community Development Corporation, which is a non-for-profit, faith-based organization committed to empowering people, creating positive opportunities for the community, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. A living angel. Her name, Lisa Johanan. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Lisa Johanan. From 1993 to 2025, she was executive director and co-founder of Central Detroit Christian Community Development Corporation. That's a mouthful. Lisa,
it is.
Welcome. An honor to have you.
Well, thank you, Jack. It's an honor to be here.
Can we start with you leading us in an opening prayer, please?
Absolutely. Father God, we love you so much, and we're so grateful that you have given us another day. And we pray that our conversation today would bring you honor. We pray that our fellowship would be sweet. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, let's go back. Redford, Michigan. Your childhood, your mom and your dad.
I was raised in Redford, just 2 miles outside of the city of Detroit. My mom and dad were working class people. I had two older sisters and two younger brothers, so I was right there in the middle. And tumultuous household, if I may say so. And so I couldn't wait to leave. And God moved me to Chicago. And I did some time at Moody Bible, and then I graduated from Wheaton College.
Other than Billy Graham, you might be the most famous alumnus at Wheaton College.
Jack, I doubt that, okay?
Okay. You're a close second. Okay. Wheaton is, in Wheaton, Illinois, a very prosperous neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So this is the early 80s, and you decide, I want to live downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I want to live at Division and Orleans,
right,
which was near Cabrini Green. That place was notorious.
Yes.
Gangs. There was no young college white girl living near Cabrini Greens.
Well, I was, but yeah.
Why?
So that it's an interesting story. You know, when I first got introduced to Chicago, it was just like, what an amazing city this is, you know? And it still is to this day. And in my backyard was this housing project called Cabrini Green, and I'd never seen anything like that before. And the density that was there, the poverty that was there, the violence that was there.
The fires.
The fires,
they would
yeah.
set apartments to fires.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it was just very intriguing and fascinating to me. And I said, I think this is what God wants me to do. God chooses the impossible sometimes for people. And I said, this just seems like right up my alley. And I found people who were of like mind. And even while we were in school there, we started doing work in Cabrini. And then it was time to go to Wheaton. And I wasn't going to live out in Wheaton and not have any connection to the city. And so I petitioned the school administrators, and they said, surprisingly, they said, okay, we believe in you enough that we're going to allow you to do that. You just have to go to see a counselor once a week. So you check in here we want to make sure you're okay. I said, okay.
When you told your mom and your dad where you were living, how did that go?
Well, what they don't know doesn't hurt them, you know? So, you know, when people come to visit, they They get to see the pretty parts of Chicago, you know, and so that's what you kind of let them see. My husband's parents, however, really struggled with us living where we did. As a matter of fact, they came to visit once and they left in the middle of the night because they said, we can't live here. We can't stay here. And we wish you wouldn't either. And we just said, no, this is where we're supposed to be.
Division Street is 1200 North.
Right.
So it's a mile and a half north of Madison Avenue.
Right.
And Orleans is like only a mile west of Lake Michigan. I mean, now that Cabrini Green area is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Back then.
It really is.
Wow.
Yeah, back then I lived, so where we're describing a division in Orleans was the Old Town and Garden projects. And so that was, interestingly enough, that was controlled by the Coberstones. And Cabrini was primarily controlled by Black Gangster Disciples.
All right. You graduate. And from 1985 to 1992, you were the urban director for Youth for Christ in Detroit. You come back home. Mm-hmm. Talk about that chapter.
Yeah, that was a 7-year chapter, just like Cabrini was. I was asked to come here, and I'd said no to the director several times. And then finally I said, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Next thing you know, he was in Chicago visiting me and trying to say, let's close this deal. When you make big decisions like that, I move slowly. And it took several months before we said, okay, let's go. And we started the urban ministry of Detroit Youth for Christ. And it grew in just massive ways where we had campus life clubs, which is, you know, signature thing of Youth for Christ, in every high school and in half of the middle schools. And we were reaching about 30,000 kids a year with our programs.
And then what happened?
And then they fired me. They decided to move in a different direction. They determined that working in the city was too emotionally and financially draining. And instead of, you know, garnering more support, they decided to let most of us go, who were working in the city. And they went in a different direction. And that didn't work out very well for them. They closed their doors about 3 years later.
We're talking to Lisa Johannan. When we come back, we're going to talk to her about what the next chapter became. Mm-hmm. It's worked out pretty good for her, her husband Dan, and tens of thousands of Detroit residents since. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Lisa Johannan. From 1993 to 2025, she was executive director, co-founder of Central Detroit Christian Community Development Corporation. Wow. All right, let's go back 1993, and you start this development. I want to quote you now.
Oh, okay.
We're here to be salt and light in a community of great need.
Yes.
Tell us about Central Detroit.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot has evolved since 1993.
Let's go back to 93. Yeah. What was it like?
It was very much a very impoverished area. Not the violence that we saw in Chicago or anything like that, but an area of great need. A lot of abandoned housing. Just really challenged, you know. It was still pioneering, you know. It's not like it was ready for people to settle down there, although there were a lot of great stakeholders who had been there for years and years and years. But it had tumbled so far down that it really needed to be rebuilt and built up. And so that was a great challenge ahead of us. That was the area that I focused on when I was at Youth for Christ. You know, that's where I did my ministry. And so I got to know a lot of kids and teenagers. And I didn't want to abandon that. And what happened in this process, just almost at the same time that CDC started, was this Christian Community Development Association started just a couple years before. And that was a banding together of like-minded people throughout the United States who followed a philosophy adopted by Dr. John Perkins, who said to make an impact in a devastated community, you need to practice relocation, reconciliation, and redistribution. And that was a really eye-opening, and I really embraced that because I really wasn't hearing anything out there of people saying, this is how you reach a lost community, or this is how you reach people who are disenfranchised. I wasn't hearing or seeing anything that was working or sticking. You can hand out clothing, you can hand out food, but those people are still hungry the next day. So how do we develop people so they can stand on their own two feet, so they can say, we've made decisions, we've helped with this change? And so relocation was a very important component of Central Detroit Christian CDC. As a matter of fact, even to this day, you know, 30-some years later, I still live in the community. I live right down the block even, and 89% of our staff live in the community. In either 48202 or 48206. So we're neighbors. We're not caseworkers. We're not social workers coming in there and saying, this is what you need to do and this is how you need to do it. We are there as your friends and neighbors and saying, how can we help you? You know, and when you view people as your neighbors, it changes how you think and how you problem solve, because you're doing it together. You're not doing to someone. Reconciliation, very, very important. You know, not only trying to reconcile people to God, but also reconciling people to their alienated relationships with other people. And then redistribution is one of my favorites. It's just leveling the playing field. You know, equity. If it's good enough for Birmingham, it's good enough for Central Detroit was always something I would say, you know. And I would drive out to some of those suburbs and look and see, okay, what kind of playgrounds do they have? What do their schools look like? You know, what's going on over here? And say, that's worthy of our community. And so that's kind of the beginning stages of what was going on in Central Detroit.
Your headquarters are at 1550 Taylor Street, which Correct. Is about 1 mile north of West Grand Boulevard. And just a block or two west of the lodge at that mm-hmm. point.
Yes.
All right. If you want to learn more, www.centraldetroitchristian.org. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Lisa Johannan, up until a year ago, the executive director. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The mission of CDC.
Mm-hmm. The mission of Central Detroit Christian is that through education, employment, economic development, and evangelism, CDC strives to transform individuals to reach their highest potential while transforming the community to be a place of shalom, which means a place where there's no chaos and there's just peace.
Which, what the north side of Chicago had when the Cubs finally won the World Series after 108
years. Don't you know it?
With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. If the Cubs could win the World Series, there's hope for the Lions, right?
Okay, yes. All right. You just mentioned four pillars. Let's talk about each. Number one, education.
Education. Well, we found that a lot of children entering the school system in kindergarten weren't prepared for school. And so we started a preschool, and we service ages 6 weeks to 5 years in our preschool. We became a 5-star facility, which is the highest level of excellence that you can get. They don't give you star ratings after this past year, but I like to say, you know, we've got the right stuff and really give kids a quality education and really try to prepare them for entering kindergarten and making that kind of difference. We have really taken our youth programs and our children's programs to be more literacy focused and more math focused, because kids in our neighborhood, less than 10% are reading at level in the third grade. And that just doesn't
give
them. Less than 10% of the third graders in our community are reading at level. That means 90% are not reading at level. That's not something I can go to sleep and feel good about. You know, I don't know about you, but that keeps me up at night.
the silent epidemic in America mm-hmm. is literacy. Mm-hmm. It's not just inner city.
True that.
Only 40% of our kids in America are reading at grade level. 35% of the kids in Rochester and Troy are at least three grade levels behind. Mm. Harbor Springs, Charlevoix, everywhere. Literacy.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Well, there you have it, you know, and if we don't get that under control, if we don't have our kids being literate and knowing how to do math and even doing science, the future is bleak for them. And they aren't prepared for employment. They aren't employed prepared for becoming productive citizens in our community.
America's greatest natural resource, Lisa.
Yeah.
Are our young people.
They absolutely are.
That's all we've got.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second pillar, mm-hmm. employment.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that builds on literacy. You know, we don't want to take a 40-year-old who's already been beat up by the employment system. We want to get you while you're young. And so we work with young teenagers and young adults primarily and hopefully train them up in a way that they have the skills necessary to be successful employees and hopefully and eventually some of them becoming successful employers and even entrepreneurs. That's a lot of ease there. But, you know, we want people to really realize their potential, that they can be the employer. They can be, you know, the entrepreneur. There's just a lot of people who have dreams and great ideas, and they don't ever get to uncap them because the system has confined them. And so that's our goal with our employment program. We have a year-round program that we call Ready, Recruit, Employ, Advance, and Deploy Youth. And then we work with Grow Detroit's Young Talent during the summer to work with, typically it's a couple hundred teenagers and young adults, to teach them those job skills. And it's just a fantastic time.
We're talking to Lisa Johannan, and I'm Jack Rasul. And this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Lisa Johannan. And if you want to learn more, www.centraldetroitchristian.org. The third pillar, Lisa, economic development.
Economic development. For us, that is housing development and business development. So what we've been able to do over the course of our history is start over 17 different businesses, seven of which are still under our umbrella. Others have morphed off, or we have sold to managers because they've done a good job, and that was part of our goal setting in all of that. We are very proud of our businesses. So we have a produce market, Peaches and Greens Produce Market. That's been visited by Michelle Obama and the governor and the mayor at some points, just trying to provide quality fresh produce in a community. We have a fit and fold laundromat where you work out fit while you do your laundry fold. So it's fit and fold. We have our own farm called Adama Farms, and that is about almost an acre of land that is farmed for sale at Eastern Market and donated to several folks in our community, sold in CSAs, and really a training ground for teaching kids, you know, green economy.
City Kids Soup.
Yes. We take soup. I mean, we package soups. Teenagers package soups, and we sell them at Eastern Market and other outlets, including Peaches and Greens. And it's teen-led, teen-run. Yeah, it's great recipes.
All right, the fourth and last pillar, evangelism.
Evangelism. Evangelism just covers everything. It just covers everything we do. It's hard to make a hammer and nail religious, but we definitely want to make sure that people
the
know.
The nuns used to use on the south side of Chicago, hammer and nails to make you religious. Okay. And it worked.
No. But, you know, we just want people to see Jesus in all that we do. We really do.
Okay.
It's as simple as that.
Your annual budget, $6.5 million.
Yes.
How do you meet payroll?
Well, we've got a very diverse income stream. And so there's 8 sources of revenue that come into the organization: individuals, churches, foundations, corporations, government, developer fees from real estate, rental income, and business revenue from our businesses if they're profitable. And so that allows us to be able to not be so fully... So many nonprofits are dependent upon grants. And by having this diversity of revenue coming in, if we don't get a grant, we're still going to be okay, you know? And so by having that type of financial stability, we're able to keep going. And God has been faithful. That's all I can say.
Speaking of keep going, one of your favorite words is resilience.
Yes. You guessed it. That's right. Resilience is a very key component to surviving and having longevity in this type of work. Nonprofit work is very grueling because you always are raising the money plus trying to do the work. And that is a challenge. And sometimes the work is very challenging and the people that you're working with can be very challenging. But resilience is even when you fall down, you get back up. And you keep getting back up each time. And you keep going regardless.
Speaking of the work can be very challenging, mm-hmm. I quote you again.
Okay.
We get to clean up the blood.
Oh, dear. Yes.
Please, Lisa.
I think there are a lot of hard times in the work that you do. You know, there are people that you come across that sometimes it's your last time you come across them. There are times when you have to be engaged in death, and you have to be engaged in very traumatic situations in people's lives. And my comment or quote, someone's got to clean up the blood, is just that. Someone has to be there who can take the trauma and help to stabilize the situation. Someone who can... be strong while others are falling apart. Have your own private time for grief, but be there for people that you're there to clean up when no one else has the strength to do that.
We're talking to Lisa Johanna, and if you want to learn more, www.centraldetroitchristian.org. A year ago, you were awarded the Detroit Nonprofit Leader for the Eleanor Jesaitis Award for 30 years
yes.
of community service. You are a living angel. You are a modern-day Eleanor Jesaitis. She was a housewife from Downriver. She had 5 children under the age of 10. We experienced the Detroit mm-hmm. riots.
Yes.
Father Bill Cunningham starts Focus Hope and asks her to come and volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
6 months later, she tells her husband, Don, that they have to move back to the city of Detroit.
Good.
Dan, you're like a Don Jesaitis, okay? All right? This is when all the U-Hauls were going out of the city.
Yeah.
Her mom and dad take her to court to take the kids away because she was crazy.
Oh, wow.
One of the brother-in-laws take her to court. You can't use the Jesaitis name. And then Father Cunningham dies in the early 90s. It's going to go under and comes to be she was stronger than Father Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
All right? She yeah. wrote me her philosophy of life once.
Mm-hmm.
I quote, "I'm a firm believer that every person, no matter what their status in life, want the same thing. To be loved, understood, and appreciated.
Yes.
It makes no difference what our skin color, religious beliefs, or national origin. We want to be loved. To make the world a better mm-hmm. place, we have to understand our brothers and sisters and appreciate our differences mm-hmm. and celebrate our sameness." What does mm-hmm. that say to you?
That's pretty all-encompassing as a worldview. And it's hard to disagree with anything she said here. It's beautiful. It is a great way to view life. It is a great way to work with people. And everybody does want to be loved. They really do. They want to be understood and they want to be appreciated. I see that every day. How life-giving it is when you encourage someone and you say kind words to them. you just can sometimes see in people that it makes a difference, you know? And so even riding the elevator up here, it was like I was saying kind words to the woman in the elevator. And I could just see it was just making her day better. But that's sometimes when you live in a community where there's a lot of chaos, or when families have chaos and kids don't hear positive affirmation, they come and they're dejected and they're downhearted. And I don't think they can learn very well like that, you know? So you really need to encourage them and love them and let them know and say those words, you know? And it makes a world of difference. It really does.
My boyhood hero, still a hero to me, Mr. Cub Ernie Banks. Mm-hmm. You know, let's play two.
Well, you and me, okay. Chicago, you go for it.
All right. He said, Jack, a person can live without food for a month. Mm-hmm. You can live without water for a week, but you can't live without hope for
yes,
a day.
Yes, absolutely.
And that philosophy of life, that's how you and your team live every mm-hmm. day, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. And we're hope givers. Yeah. I even like what Ernie said better. No. It's more succinct, but we have to give people hope. We really do. And it starts with our children. And so it's exactly right.
We're talking to Lisa Johanan, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Krasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that his unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember...
Anything.
Spohom. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Lisa Johanan, who a year ago stepped down as executive director, but is still very, very involved today. 33 years you ran the organization.
Mm-hmm.
What's the single biggest thing, Lisa, you learned in those 33 years?
The single biggest thing I learned? Oh, wow. I don't know if there's a single one. The first thing that popped into my head, though, is it's not about you. You know, it's really about lifting up and training others and lead, helping them to be leaders. It's not about you in terms of your ego and what you're able to accomplish. It's about how you can serve and how you can serve well. It's about the people that you're serving, too. And so that's the first thing that popped in my head. So maybe that is one of the best lessons I've learned. I think we sometimes have grandiose ideas, you know, of what we're going to be able to accomplish. But God showed me very early on, it's not about you. It's about me. And what you're going to do is because I'm working through you. And I think that's the best way I can say it, Jack.
Whenever I've had a guest who has truly surrendered to God. They've let go and let God. Mm-hmm. There's a phenomenal inner peace about them. It just radiates. Lisa Joanne, you have that.
Thank you.
Why do you keep
He's pounding
doing
me down
this?
Quite a bit through the years to get to that.
Why do you keep doing this?
Well, I think of a dear friend who said to me once, he goes, in relation to what he was doing, and he goes, you know, Lisa, there's no plan B. There is no plan B. And so when you operate with that mindset that there's no other options, you continue doing what you're doing until you hear from God who says, it's time for you to move on, or it's time for you to do this or that. And sometimes we humans get discouraged and we say, oh, I better try something different. I need to move on. I need to do this. This is better for my career. This is a promotion for me. This is, you know, whatever. And you don't get to see the fruit of your labor. You know, not that it's all about that either, you know, but you don't get to see. It takes a long time for change to really sink in, you know, and when people flit from job to job, they don't get to see the impact of their work. And that to me is what I've been able to, by sticking with this for 30 years, I've been able to see the change. You know, I've been able to see kids who were in the program when I was doing youth programs, now sending their kids or their grandchildren. You know, it's come to that point, and that is exciting. And that's how you really get to measure some change in people's lives, you know?
Speaking of change, what gives you the most hope about Detroit's future?
Wow, you are asking some big questions here. There's hope in Detroit's future because I'm looking out your window here and I see the transformation, the $3.5 billion transformation of Henry Ford Hospital. I'm going, that's an economic engine. You know, that's going to really help bring jobs here. That's really going to be a stalwart in our community. And hopefully it brings jobs for people in our community who could actually walk to work. You know, that gives me hope. What gives me hope is to see that there are people who have not given up on Detroit. Some have never given up on Detroit in all their years, but others are saying Detroit is a place of hope. Detroit is a place where I can invest in financially, where I can move my family to live here, where I can be a part of what's going on here. And that is a different feeling than 20 or 30 years ago, may I say.
Speaking of a difference, in November 2025, you stepped down as executive director.
Yes.
And a young man named Kyle Lake.
Yes.
Big shoes to fill. Tell us about Kyle Lake.
Well, Kyle, you know, we did this search, this massive search for who the successor would be, realizing that, you know, everybody's days are limited and it's not about you, as I said earlier. And here we, after all of that searching, and we found some incredible talent in the city of Detroit, was impressive. We found right under our noses Kyle Lake, who was our program director at Central Detroit Christian, who has a phenomenal background, who understands our community, who loves our community deeply, and who embraces our philosophy thoroughly. So there wasn't going to have to be all this training and making sure somebody understood how we do what we do. And so it was like a unanimous vote on the board of directors to bring Kyle on as the executive director. And let me tell you, getting a unanimous vote from a board of directors is huge. And so we were all very excited. We had made that decision. And so he came on in the fall, like you said, November 1st. And we've been walking alongside each other. I said I wanted to give a year of just being there for him and pouring into him and being the Paul to his Timothy, so to speak. And so it's been great.
Okay. You said we did a search. Let's go back to 1982, and you do a search for Mr. Perfect. And you see this man on the north side of Chicago, who ultimately is going to become an electrician. Tell us about Dan.
Okay.
Mr. Perfect.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far, but he is an amazing person. He is an amazing person. And I, when we first met, he was going to be a camp counselor for our programs that we were doing in Chicago. And I saw him, and he had a pound of grapes in his hands. And I said, I want to get to know him because I just love green grapes. And so that was how it started. You know, I just went over and I started making conversation and took some grapes and we hit
it. And she didn't want roses. She didn't want gold. She just wanted some green grapes.
Yeah. And so he was just great. We got along and just hit it off immediately, you know, and there's a lot of funny and dumb stories in between that time where we got to know each other before we got married.
Two children,
yes. Well, yes. Justin and Emma. And then we have our goddaughter, Maisie, who is our third child.
Okay. He works for Central Detroit Christian. So in mm-hmm, that sense, mm-hmm. Dan, you have a honey-do list for home. Mm-hmm. And then she gives you
that
a
never
honey-do
gets
list.
Done. That never gets
okay.
done.
Well, it's because the honey-do list you got for him as an
Absolutely.
Employee is unbelievable.
Yes. He is a master of a lot of things, and he gets a lot of stuff done for CDC and also for us. So, yeah.
As our time winds down.
Yeah.
There's only six words we must hear. They are well done, good and faithful servant. When you hear those words someday, what are you going to say to God?
Oh, I hope I hear those words. I don't think there's anything you can do except fall at his feet, you know, and say, thank you, God.
Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist, told me, Jack, I'm just going to kiss his feet. I'm just going to kiss his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, for the first several days you're up there, you're just going to be floating around. You're going to say the same two words over and over. Jack, of course, of course, of course. Because all this stuff that we don't understand, we'll have seen the master plan and see how it all works.
Yes.
You are an unbelievable example of somebody who figured out what your role was in God's master plan. And you do it as a living angel. You do phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all you do. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.
Believe in yourself.